Thank you again for calling, and I'll talk to you soon.
Greetings, this is the automatically deleted husband. I wanted to enlighten you a little bit more because we did some review today, I talked about the one church building where there was the drone attack in Syria, where this Christian church that was built as kind of a pseudo replacement to the Hagia Sophia in Turkey, that was converted to a mosque, and they called the Hagia Sophia, whatever. And you know, I thought about it after that, because you may recall when Chris and I hiked many times up to Benton Falls, we discovered there a pile of stones, an Ebenezer. I mean, it was clearly an Ebenezer because there was a cross there. And then, you know, subsequent visits, it was torn down, but I found the cross and put it back. I did that twice. So that was kind of interesting. But what I thought about is you have this fancy building. Again, the artwork is superb. The ingenuity, the gift of the talent of the design is fantastic. But what does the Lord call for? The Ebenezer, a pile of rocks. Is he impressed with that? You know, I one of the things I thought about, well, the good example would be Benton Falls. Because, you know, we have that picture, they have the picture of one me where I'm clinging to the tree at the top of the falls, you know, just to, and then of course we have several pictures being at the bottom of the falls, and because you can see that, I think if I recall correctly, it's 65 feet tall. You look at the artwork of man, and you compare it to the artwork of God. I mean, that structure is kind of like, it's amazing what God does. And it's not just the falls, but what's all around there? Trees, plants, and so forth. The artwork, God's artwork in a plant, as well as animals and so forth, is amazing. Is it compared to what man can do? Not at all. Anyway, so it's something that continue to dwell on. Just so you know, I made a significant progress on the email portion and defining a lot of things today of Shofar Nexus, and actually wrote an email in order to tell people I want to get some people using it. So I wrote that, but you know, one of the things, again, I do what I call the honeypot. Well, I mean, it's the honeypot is the common term within the security field. It's a place where people come and, oh, I can use that. And of course, so I can find out. What I'm finding out is, you know, malformed messages and things of that nature, or things that I haven't done properly, because a whole bunch of people are sending me messages. I take, oh, thank you, and they disappear. However, it's giving me the insight of, okay, I need to handle this correctly, or have an error. Yes, I make mistakes. But anyway, so that made. I'm hoping tomorrow to do the invitation, and by the end of the week have other people running these things. But one other thing, because we briefly discussed Isaiah 57 today, and because there was a couple things that stood out. But again, I want to encourage my kids. Because we read another passage, it was referenced, and I didn't Psalm 78 or whatnot, and it was really important, because it there was a discussion of I think it was Psalm 78 about. Doing things for your kids. Anyway, but I'll do tomorrow. But I wanted to review with you, because I want to review with my kids the second half of Isaiah 57, because the first half, the first 13 verses, is, the title is Israel's Futile Idolatry. So these basically, you know, you're toast for all these various things. And I won't go into that. But at verse 14, the dialogue now changes to the elect. And I have the LSV in front of me because I think it gives a little bit more emphasis and it's fairly readable. Verse 14, and he said, rise up, prepare a way, lift a stumbling block out of the way of my people. So, I mean, first verse in this passage here, I think, out of the way of my people. I think clearly, I think there's a strong indication or consistent with the idea his people are the elect. In one sense, we're all God's creation, but we're not necessarily all God's people in the sense of being, actually, it's the laos, because I discussed laos and demos and so forth. But anyway, so we've changed from what was the first 13 verses. But anyway, verse 15. For thus says the high and exalted one. So God is saying, inhabiting eternity, and his name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place. So God is saying, I'm here. I'm the top dog. I am the one that's in charge. It's me, because it's him. So he's dwelling. I dwell in the high and holy place, and with the bruised and humble of spirit. Not the proud, but the bruised and humble of spirit. To revive the spirit of the humble, and to revive the heart of the bruised ones. So he's there in his high and holy place with people who are bruised, humbled. Well, actually he says that twice, you know, in a sense, with the bruised and humble of spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble, to revive the heart of the bruised ones. So he's there with those who are bruised and humble, and he is reviving them. I think that's important. So, and I would say it's consistent with the rest of the passage. For I do not strive for all time, nor am I angry forever. It's the idea of strive or contend. He's not going to do this forever with his elect. For the spirit is feeble before me, and the souls I have made. So he's basically saying, we are inadequate. You know, we're feeble. But he made us, and it's important. For the iniquity of his dishonest gain, I have been angry, and I strike him. Hiding, and am angry, and he goes on turning back in the way of his heart. And when I read that, I find it fascinating, because it shows it's more than just, from a human perspective, we'd see it inside, but we see that God knows the heart. You know, for the iniquity of his dishonest gain, he's talking about the elect doing dishonest gain. And he has been angry and strikes him. He disciplines those he loves, consistent with Hebrews. Hiding, and I'm angry, and he goes on turning back to the way of his heart. Who is turning back? Us, the elect. We see it, we're disciplined by him. We continue to turn back because our heart is not pure. Goes on, I have seen his ways and I heal him. Indeed, I lead him and repay comforts to him and to his mourning ones. So he says there in verse 17, you know, you're a sinner. You know, your dishonest gain, turning back to the way of your heart and so forth. You know, the heart is desperately wicked. That's what we do constantly. And the Lord says, I have seen his ways. In other words, we don't fool him. He knows, he understands. Indeed, I heal him. Indeed, I lead him. So in other words, he's taken those who has turned from him, he crushes and he heals. And then he leads him back on the right path and repay comforts to him and his mourning ones. So even in our sin, he's not repaying us evil for evil, but a blessing in spite of our evilness. Going on, producing the fruit of the lips, peace, peace to the far off and to the near, and I've healed him, says Yahweh. He's offering his grace to those who don't come to him honestly, but they're his elect. Anyway, it concludes with, and the wicked are driven out as the driven out sea, for they're not able to rest, and its waters cast out filth and mire. There is no peace, says my God, for the wicked. So it goes back to, you know, I keep using the word the toast. there's the elect, and there's the condemned, those who are toast. But what I see in this, what I hope my kids would see, is the immense grace of God to his elect. You don't earn election. It's his gift. And, you know, I look at this, and, you know, especially, for the iniquity of his dishonest gain, I have been angry, and I strike him, hiding, and I'm angry. And he goes on, turning back in the way of his heart. You know, it's the John 6, the idea of those the Lord calls will come, and those the Lord calls, he will never let go. Again, this I would suggest is consistent with that idea, because he understands we're not fooling God. We're not fooling God. We can't deceive ourselves in our mind, or try to say, "Oh, I put up." It is like what I mentioned yesterday in reference to the way we act towards, you know, in the reference to Romans 14. The way we act towards others is one thing, but the way our heart is towards others is another. Because people can see the way I act, and I may act quite well, but my heart could still be full of less than kind things. But again, I would say this is consistent with this. In spite of my sin, both in Romans 14 and in Isaiah 57, in spite of my sin, there's grace. Grace to his elect. Who are his elect? It is my hope. That includes Eric Lee, Brent, Leo, Jack, Tirza, Julia, Isaac, Charlotte, and James, George, Susanna, Glory Jane, Walter, and Zayok. A list of names of people that I love and haven't seen in 10 years. My love for them has unabated. I'm striving to follow in the way a man can in what we see in Isaiah 57:17 or 18. I've seen his ways, and I heal him. Indeed, I lead him and repay comforts to him and to his mourning ones. I want to repay the evil that my family does with grace, with my kids. But most importantly, in the same way to my wife. Because it is my hope and prayer. I'm biased. I'm seriously biased. You know, the thing that scares me, and I mean, it really does scare me, because I think it was within a few days of the day she abandoned me, a dialogue. We were in our bedroom, and one or more of our kids, and I don't know who it was, came into the room, and we talked. We talked about election. I don't remember the context, what brought it up, and whatnot, but I pointed out at that time that we cannot really know about another person. I can't know even about my own wife, the woman I love, you know, their mom, the woman I love and adore. I can't know. I can't know about my kids, because it's the Lord and the Lord alone. Because I can't see the heart. The Lord can. With somebody, family, especially your spouse, you should be able to have a better insight but it's not for certain. But I do think, as I've dwelled on this for many years, the attitude of me, a man, the Lord, you know, we see so often, especially in the Gospels, the Lord can say, your heart is such and such. You know, especially, you know, when you're sons of your father, the devil, you know, those kind of things. I can't do that. I can't make that judgment. I'm only a man. I'm only his creation. So I can look at somebody and I can say, you're showing characteristics consistent with or opposite to being part of the elect. But I can't say you are part of the elect or not. And, but then again, we have this, you know, he keeps on turning back into it in the way of his heart. That's what man does. But that constant offer of grace from God is amazing. You know, somebody should write a song, you're like, Amazing Grace. Anyway, it was fascinating. And so one, as I see my own sin and the grace of God, and two, I look at the sin of, especially some of the overt sin, my kids, for example, and know that the Lord can turn them back and offer them grace. That's my desire. Same thing is true with my wife. My wife, the woman I love and adore, the woman who committed her life to me, her life to me, my life to her, I'm still keeping the promise. My lady, I love you and I want you back.